The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
So, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we are calling upon you at this hour. We are calling upon your name, the name of our Lord Jesus, dear Father. We are calling, we are asking for light. We are asking for the light that would cause stones to come of age. The light that will cause us to come into preciousness. The light that will help even those who are struggling to become stones to be stones. We're asking for an appointment this day with mercy. With mercy, we don't know how to seek. Lord, this is a terrain that few men have treaded, but you have counted us worthy because you have seen the end. You have seen that we can make this journey, and you want to hasten our feet. I ask that you help me in this few moments to bring forth a word in due season to somebody who needs to be inspired and encouraged, who needs to be strengthened and fortified to believe in hope against all hope. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for help of your spirit. Thank you for enablement. Thank you for understanding for your people. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for breath. Thank you for simplicity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Once again, I want to bless the name of the Lord for Life Campaign 2020. Just reflecting on the theme, you know, so much, you know, understanding even came, you know, alongside this subject. Everybody may not be at that pedestal in the spirit, but it's actually the in team. I think it's a build up of last year's conference. I just could not imagine any other theme. Amen. And that's because of what has built up in the spirit. Amen. Let's see Romans chapter 10. Let's see quickly from verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. What saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. We all know that this was what took place when we got born again. This scripture and the life and the power and the principle of life behind the scripture was what caused our spirit to become Christ. This is what caused our spirit to be seated in God, in Christ, in heavenly places. This is what caused us to be a new man in our spirit. And this is also what will cause us to be a new man in our soul. It says, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God's servant has been trying to divide, you know, there are different references of the word salvation. But this is one of the instances where salvation talks about rescue. Remember in the book of John, it says, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son will quicken whomsoever he wills. So what the Father did by the operation of the faith of God, according to Colossians chapter 2, was to raise us up, was to bathe Christ, was to infuse God's righteousness into our spirit. And that caused our spirit to become a new man, become Christ. Our spirit began to live. And in like manner, the salvation being made reference to here is a salvation that will cause our soul to be Christ. is not a salvation that will cost our soul. It's a deliverance. It's a rescue from that death. Remember in Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1, ye who were dead in sin and trespasses, hath he quickened? Meaning, hath he given life? So one of the things we are celebrating here by God's grace today is the provision of even the word of faith that is now meant to bring the soul, raise the soul. You remember I said there? He said, don't say in your heart, who shall bring down Christ from heaven or who shall descend to the deep? Meaning the word of faith does that job. The journey of the word of faith into the heart. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, eyes has not seen nor ear heard, nor has he entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Them that love him are those who have prospered with the word of faith. Those who have kept the feast of faith, hope, and charity. Those who have partaken of what Isaiah chapter 52 called the gospel, the publishing of peace. I make reference to this because this milestone in the spirit was a milestone that Adam's soul did not experience. Adam did not attain that dimension called Christ. That provision, that inheritance called Christ. He was a living soul, but by virtue of the commandment that the Lord God gave him, he was meant to firstly attain unto an estate called Christ. So we are housed in that commandment that the Lord God gave him. Was a word. Was the word that we later saw in Matthew chapter 13 as the word of the sower. The word that can bring forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. So Adam fell short of something that the publishing of peace wants to restore us to. But what limited this season, the publishing of salvation, was actually a tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or the world. The world sells something. Our Lord Jesus called it in John chapter 14, I think verse 27. It talked about the peace that this world gives. Can we see that? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. This was something that was not available in the Old Testament. This was a peace that would cost the soul to come into that estate called Christ. Not as the world giveth. So one of the greatest exploits of the world is the peace it gives. It was able to sell something to Eve in Eden. Eden was a kind of rest. Eden was the rest or the peace that the living soul had. Not the peace of the quickening spirit. They were able to sell a picture, a peace, a kind of rest. To Eve. Like the way God someone puts it. He said the sin of Adam was the sin of an adventure. He wanted to. Something, and that's all of us partook of that. We want to know. Just like when you tell a child, don't turn to this channel, don't put on the channel, don't watch this movie, this documentary. Immediately you give that commandment. Something, they are hiding something from me. There's an adventure I'm missing out in. Whereas in the commandment God gave him, that commandment was meant to be the adventure for the soul. Not as the word giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Meaning the peace that the word gives comes with fear. And that's why he says in Jeremiah chapter 23, when he talks about how he's going to raise shepherd after his heart, how shepherds have scattered the flock. One of the things he said there is that after they have been fed, after his heart, with the word of Christ and the word of God, they will come to a place where they will neither be dismayed, neither will they what? Fear. And what? Neither will they be lacking. So it was pasture that communicated fear to us. It's also pasture that will deal with fear. And that is the essence of this publishing. Let's see that the theme of the conference, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. We're talking about a day when the word of Christ will have a handshake with the word of God. That's the whole essence of this publishing of salvation. Verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that seeth unto Zion thy God reigns. The first thing we can see here is those who God will be having an appointment with in Zion. There's an interaction right now that God has with us, with a company. Whether you are in Eternal Life Embassy, you are in, you know, churches at Ondoye, at Lagos, there's a company called them. Them that are sanctified by faith. Them that have been separated. Them that have prospered with the publishing of peace or with the preaching of peace. Those who have believed in their heart. That Romans chapter 10 earlier that we read. He said, with the heart a man believes unto righteousness. Meaning there are revelations of what is right that will bring a man above the world. And that's the man that God has peace with. That's the man that God is at home with. That's the man that God can speak to. Because he's a stone. He's a stone. And by virtue of the speakings God wants to bring, which is meant to perfect him, he will come into preciousness. So the warfare actually is to become a stone. There are revelations of faith that births a soul to become a stone. There are also now a higher degree of revelation because such a one has come into the kingdom. The labor of Paul, that's why you see 2/3 of the apostles, of the epistles, was to bring men into peace. But we see how it was punctuated with the publishing of salvation. In Romans chapter 8, for example, verse 35, can we see that? It was talking about the man to whom all things work together for good. It's not a scripture to be claimed. There is a man he's talking about there. It's a man that has kept faith with the feast of faith, hope, charity. That all things. What are those all things? Let's see that. Let's see things that he cannot be separated from and the things that worked well for his good. As God prepares him for salvation. Because there was a publishing of peace that brought him to that estate where he should no more be separable by tribulation, by distress. This was how he was made a stone. Tribulation. Says, through much tribulation we enter the kingdom. This was what battered a little child in his life, in his soul. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword. This is a warehouse of thoughts. To escape those thoughts is to escape. You will actually escape corruption somewhere. And you would have been prepared to partake of the incorruptible seed. Because in that 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22, it says, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth on through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. That is the man to whom all things work together for good. That is the man they want to bring God to. Because the good that the gospel is promoting is God. There's a good in Christ. But the audience in the book of Romans, if you look at Romans chapter 6, for example, we were talking about how they've been servants of unrighteousness, of sin. They should now become servants of righteousness, unto holiness. In chapter 14, he was talking about how God will bruise Satan underneath their feet, talking about the serpent. They will undo the work that the serpent did in their soul. The work that scattered souls. And while doing so, he says they will get to a place where they will be innocent concerning evil as a child. That's the labor of Paul, to bat children in the kingdom. They'll be innocent concerning evil and what? For your obedience is come abroad to all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But I will yet have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. That is a child. That's a child in the kingdom. And the proof of it is that the serpent, the head of the serpent has been bruised. I like the way God's servant put it. He said, at this junction, even after the head of the serpent has been bruised, even as we profit with the preaching or the publishing of peace, the head, the dragon has not been overcome. It will take the testimony. But what will enable us to relate to that testimony is this publishing of salvation. One of the things God is doing through this team is to hasten what we are lacking, even in the profitability that the publishing of peace is meant to bring us to. So in that Isaiah chapter 52, he said, how beautiful are the feet. Meaning in the realm of the spirit, what sticks out is our feet. Our walk. He didn't say how beautiful are the faces. Mm-mm. How beautiful are the feet. So they know when a feet, when it has gathered goods. Like you were saying, sir, in the morning, you are ministering from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. Those are goods in Christ that will cause you to prosper with the publishing of peace. Virtue. Knowledge. Temperance. Patience. Those are weights. Those are spiritual concrete that makes a man rooted and grounded, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That is where they bat hope for eternal life. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse, he said, now abided faith, hope, and charity. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, he talked about faith, and verse 7 talks about what? Charity. So meaning, that season, from when you are adding virtue to your faith, you're actually moving into hope. They are expiring the hope of this world, because it's too hope. The soul cannot really, really function with two hope. They have to crumble the hope of this world and then nourish and install the hope for the gospel. They have to help the soul to acknowledge the truth that is according to godliness, or that is according to Christ. So all that experiencing was one of acknowledging the truth. And that word for that is understand, comprehend. So it takes time to unseat hope from the soul. It takes time. In that season, you are going to fight principalities, powers. Those are the major dimensions that oppose Christ through thoughts. So, from virtue to godliness to brotherly kindness is a season when they are batting hope. They are causing, they are giving birth to, firstly, a new heart. According to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse, I think 26. A new heart, like God was showing us at home, is a heart that has done the first two works in Christ. Faith and hope. Some people can linger around faith and hope for 5 years, for 10 years, for 20 years. Some people forever, they may not graduate from hope into charity, depending on attitude to commandment. Faith, hope, those are installations. And then they now need to bring the law of charity to seal that man, to make him Christ, to give him a footing and an access that Adam did not have. Do you know that Adam, I like the way Pastor Maker once put it, he said Adam was meant to firstly become the Christ. Jesus was called the last Adam, meaning the first Adam could have become Christ. He mortgaged that opportunity. Let's assume he had kept faith with that commandment. He would have firstly, out of that commandment the Lord God gave him, he would have firstly had to become Christ. He would have needed to secure that access in the spirit. And then from there, he would have needed to feed on the word of God before and keep the commandments of that word, which is the commandment that the publishing of salvation is heralding. And then according to Revelation chapter 22, somewhere, I think verse 7, it says, he that keepeth my commandment will I give the right of way. So meaning Adam counted the cost. He knew there was warfares to undertake before he could have eaten of that tree. It would have taken seasons. But God is saying to you and I that in the days of our flesh, we are not just only going to come into an estate Adam fell short of. We are going to come into fullness. Yeah. open that Isaiah, Ezekiel 36. Thank you very much. A new heart also will I give you. This is the definition of beauty. This is at this. Hallelujah. A new heart also. I've said a new heart. I like the way God's servant Carol Diego put it. He said, what constitutes a new heart is faith and hope. That's part of what the publishing of peace takes care of. Will I give you? And a new spirit. That's the law of the new heart. That is what will, that's where that soul will attend charity and now have a heart of flesh. Charity is a heart of flesh. Charity is what the publishing or the preaching of peace wants to bat. So if there's any struggle we are having to comprehend the revelations that are coming around the publishing of salvation, it's because we are still lacking in that formation of Christ. All those additions, they have their dealings. You remember in Romans chapter 1, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That means from one lesson of faith to another lesson of faith. So virtue is a lesson of faith. Patience, godliness, temperance, all they are all lessons. They have their seasons. And we have been graced to despise them. Because we would rather have beauty on our face than on our feet. We would rather have beauty outwardly. Pastor James was talking about how God defined things, Satan redefined things. Two of the greatest redefinitions that Satan is still fighting, that he used to fight Adam in Eden, was redefinition around good and around life. Those two things. It will take this feast of faith to charity to cleanse us of it. Let's see the next. So let's see that Ezekiel 36, 26 again. I have limited time. Can I say this? Many are here. Many are in Ezekiel 36, 26. Receiving these tidings, this publishing, is to hasten us to get to this place where keeping the feast of charity becomes a delight. Where we can keep the feast of charity to a place where we can cover the multitude of sin, because sin is no more a mystery. They've dissolved sin as a mystery in our lives, so we can go against, we can limit the spread of sin in order. Because what sin does without this wisdom, this touch of charity, is that it spreads. But charity covers. Right now they say coronavirus can spread through contact. Sin does not need physical contact to spread. Just on a phone call, you can carry that virus. Just a thought, just thinking. Think, erring in your thoughts, you are already defiled. You have caught a virus that will begin a process of separation. That's why the labor of Paul was on faith, because they want to quarantine sin. After one sign that sin has been quarantined is that you can go against sin in others. You will go against sin in others. So this verse 26 is where many are. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12. Denying ungodliness, shunning youthful lust, living righteously, soberly, and godly. That's what will give back to a heart of flesh. That's what will help us to lay aside the world. That is where we need the power of God. I noticed lately, every thought that comes my way has to do with power of God. A lot of thoughts, if you notice some of the writing lately, a lot of power of God. I realize there is a warfare against a man who wants to keep the feast of charity. It's the warfare of thoughts. You will see spirits that will be thinking through you, and you think you are the one thinking. Because there's still a way that seems it right. Thoughts. If this was a walk away, like Mama was saying yesterday, a lot of people would have been seated on the throne. Is the warfare people fight, especially in that charity thing, to cross over into the beginning of God, to the sincere milk of the word of God, the beginning of God. That warfare is always, it's always hard to put your eyes on Christ. On Christ, always on Christ. Immediately you take your eyes off Christ, there's a thought Satan has to harass you with. There's a thought that will defile. There's a thought that talks about you. There's a thought that wants to limit you. So verse 26 talks about how we are going to be able to do Christ, or how we are going to be able to give Christ. And I can see that in measurements, some of us are giving Christ to men. We used to give money. Now we can give Christ in a measure, to the measure to which you have it. Godliness is a measure. It's a measure in Christ. You can give Christ. Verse 36, please. 27, the next verse. It's talking about, this is the jurisdiction of the publishing of salvation. This is what the publishing of, this is the dividend. This is what the publishing of salvation wants to accomplish. He wants to raise those who will do God, or he wants to raise those who will be judges. And I will put my spirit within you. And I will put my spirit. He said that's the seed of eternal life. So what is limiting? If there's anybody here that is not yet carrying the seed of eternal life. It means the name of this ministry is called Eternal Life Embassy. Meaning, a lot of us right now should be carrying the seed of eternal life. Reverend also called it the law of eternal life. He said you can have that law and not do it. You can have that seed and not keep it, and not bear forth fruit with it. That soul, they are trying the will of man. This is the terrain where they will try the will of man, where we will learn to say, not my will but thine. God showed me some things about myself I feared, about my will, not about my, about the will of man. That's what they are proving. They proved angels in their disposition. Now, what they are proving now is the will of man. The only reason why you end up in eternal life is your will. It's your will. The only reason why a believer can journey even to this dimension and step back is his will. That's what makes you a potential God. That's what you have. And when Satan will bring some arguments your way on why you should hold back your will, our Lord Jesus, without sin for 33 years, had to pray, Lord, not my will. A man who had not sinned for 33 years, he had to pray with groanings and tears that could not be uttered. With groanings and tears, not my will. And I realized that all this feast is to feed us against our will. Until then, God cannot really even trust us with Christ. How much more with himself? So he said, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statuses. Reverend talked about how this talks about the heights. You walk in my heights. There are people, I'm excited when I come here like this. I'm happy because I know I have the privilege of seeing fellow believers who a day is coming to be walking in the heights of God. David said, thou hast caused my feet to be like the high feet, that I might make spiritual progress upon our high places. You have a high place. You have a place in the heights. This feast is to prepare us, to empower us to be able to mount. Many, some of us, by God's grace, we've walked. Some have run with patience. Some of, you know, holy brethren, by God's grace. That's why they are bringing this counsel away. He said, "And cause you to walk in my status, and ye shall keep my judgments." Those are the three allocations and commandments of eternal life. That's what you also find in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, when you talk about, you know. Let's see that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. No, the previous verse, please. What agreement are the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said. Three things the publication of salvation will do. Just like in Christ, you have faith, hope, charity. It's a provision so that we can make it. If they don't break it down like that, flesh cannot become a stone. If they don't break this thing down like that, also, even one who is a stone cannot come into preciousness. Meaning God is actually relating with us from a point of view of the end. He has seen the end. He is the end. So the promise was given from a point of view of the end. He could see that, you know, like a 100-meter dash. He could see that you and I made it. He saw it. The only person that can prove otherwise is you. It's your will. When we are praying from the point of view of our sight, maybe our 2 years sight from today. But everything God does, including giftings, callings, graces, prayers he answered and, he answers and prayers he doesn't answer is from a point of view of the end of salvation, not even the beginning of salvation. Everything he does, when you understand that, you will be at rest. You will realize that many thank God for our prayers, even prayers concerning things God promised us, even concerning spiritual things, not even carnal. There's a way we go about it anxiously. We don't have that comfort that comes from the God of salvation. That when he was speaking, when he's giving a promise, he's speaking from the point of view of the end. So you can bank on it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I want to thank God on this mountain for his comings. You remember in Peter, he talked about when they made known his power and his comings. His power was the publishing of peace. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. That's what will turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. That's what will cause us to journey to a place where we have the mind of Christ. That's why he was saying in Philippians, he says, let this mind be in you. It's the mind. In all the epistles, said, let this mind. That's the warfare. Because God wants to now begin to speak to that soul. That's the whole essence of a heart of flesh. So that God cannot begin to instruct him. God cannot begin to calm. It may not be accompanied by a goose pimples. No, as long as salvation is being unveiled, God is coming. Psalm 50, verse 2, it says, out of Zion, I begin to round up, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, meaning Zion is already beautiful, but that beauty needs to be crowned, needs to be perfected. They need to address what is lacking. What Zion is lacking is actually eternal life, mastery of eternal life. He has gained mastery of faith. Out of Zion, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. God had shined. It's happening. That shining is God bringing that good and perfect gift. Is that light? That good and perfect gift is what is the Alpha and the Omega of salvation. So as long as we can successfully bring Christ into our flesh, the warfare may be different. But the heart has been trained and has exercised himself in a way that it can entertain those comings. By God's grace, we will entertain God's comings. Amen. We will entertain God's comings. Amen. Let's see one more scripture. Give me Isaiah 40, please. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Comfort ye, my people. Seeth your God. He's talking to Zion. This is Zion who has received the first. There was a comfort that battered them to become Zion, to become stones, or to become hosts. I was praying, my tongue turned on, and I found myself saying, Host. The Lord has raised hosts, like you have in the angelic. If you prosper with faith, you become a host. You can give pleasure. You can give pleasure to God. God sees how you disobey the world. Consistently, you may lose out in some battles, but on most occasions, wars have ceased. He said, from whence cometh wars? Wars have ceased. The cycle of conceiving lust can easily be broken. Through the publishing of peace, they undress lust severally. So lust ceases to be a mystery. What lust sells is advantage. Or gain. It always tells you something about yourself. Once the light of faith, hope, and charity will demystify that. Advantage, gain. Check it. Every temptation, every man is tempted of his own lust. What does lust dangle? It says, every man is tempted when he's drawn of his own lust, and they not dangle a carrot. They show you what is in it for you. They show you two things: advantage and gain, a pleasure. You are enticed. What will break that strength is the power of God. That's why when Jesus preached to peace, when he preached to peace, he knew that with this, when my servants will labor around this synoptic gospels,
By the time John is coming, he will come and amplify what will take men from peace into joy, into gladness. Speak ye comfortable to who? So Jerusalem has received a comfort. Flesh received the comfort. They became stones. They became Zion. There's another coming forth. Comfort means coming forth. Coming forth. There's the coming forth of a truth that borders on salvation. Eternal salvation that will now cause Zion to morph. Speaking comfortable to Jerusalem. You know, previously, when they are talking about Zion, we're not yet Zion. Maybe 5, 10 or so years ago. We are not yet prospered with faith. But by faith, you know, ministrations were telling us that we are Zion. We are Zion by calling. But here they are, you know, by calling, they were receiving a comfort that will actualize that calling. That will cause them to morph from being Zion, from being stones, into preciousness. Speak ye comfortable to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. That's the whole essence of this. Is to empower us, is to enlighten us, is to equip us, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she had received of the Lord's hand double. That's the giving of Christ and of God. That's the giving of the name of the Lord and the name of God. This is what Isaiah, I think chapter 52, was talking about when he says, by the knowledge of my righteousness, let's see that, Isaiah chapter 53, please. He shall see the trouble of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. These many are those who we call great. These are those great, great wood. He said the Lord gave the word and great were the company. Those great, he talks about many. That's the identity that faith brings upon a soul. For he shall bear their iniquities. The next verse. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. That's the first allocation. That's the first inheritance that we receive after we have experienced remission of sins. And he shall divide. If a soul chooses to end with that allocation, some people will end here. Some people will be content being host. And God say, are you sure you want to remain a host? You don't want to move to become a spirit. He said, who make it his angel spirit? You don't want to be made. That's why he now told them in Jude. He said, seek the mercy. Seek mercy. That's when sons of charity begins to seek mercy, begin to cry out for mercy. Mercy, 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 mercy. God has to bless us with a cry for mercy. They bless David with a cry for mercy. Back to that verse, please. He shall divide. So he said he shall divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. The spoil is actually eternal life. He said, they that know their God shall be strong. It's eternal life that supplies strength. And that's what the gospel of salvation. That's what the publishing of salvation. So by God's grace, Eternal Life Embassy is living up to, is going to live up to his expectation like never before in this season. Men will handle spoil. Men will do God's work. Like the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, we're in that season. God expects us to do God's work. He said, he that keepeth my works to the end. If we have successfully kept the works of Christ, meaning we can successfully keep the works of God, he shall divide the spoil. There's a spoil in the house. We're just laying foundation. Other ministrations are still going to come. They're going to rightly divide that spoil. And even that portion with the great, if there's any money that is lacking, because you can be lacking on that side, on the side of publishing of peace, can be lacking on this, on the side of publishing of peace, God will address every lack we have. I'll be here this Sunday by God's grace. You know why I'm here? I want to take everything that is available. God has used people to, you know, to set an example. You come all the way from Monday to Saturday, you know, believers to Sunday, believers, you know, Saturday end, believers convention, you know. So, I mean, we're just following the examples you have set, sir. I want to take everything. If you're not careful, you who you are a member here, I will take more than you are. You want to take. I'm serious. Some don't come for evening session. I come for all the sessions with a heart saying, God, 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 I'm crying night and day. God, 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 something must be found in my flesh. And I can tell you, God will not deny me. God will not deny me that which I have desired. It's God that put that desire there. Hallelujah. We are set for a great time. Please, I want you to trust God for mercy to entertain all he has. Come by our heads in prayers, please.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.